are listening to Dovetails with Deborah, a show about encouragement as we empower you with tales and testimonies of many who share what has happened to them as the Holy Spirit rests on them like a dove.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon and welcome. Please welcome to Dovetails, a show about stories, a show about faith, spiritual warfare, seasons of the most strenuous trials resulting in the most blissful victories. And if you hadn't heard, Dovetails is a Christ-centered program which tells the journey of the millions of witnesses who've submitted to the guidance and counsel of the Holy Spirit. In the gospel, we see the heavens torn open as the Spirit of God rests on Christ like a dove. It's the Holy Spirit which leads all mankind, as it did our Lord and Savior, into all truth. So maybe perhaps you are going through trials. You're going through pain, doubt, and uncertainty, but it is never for nothing. And it is always to impart what we have learned to others during the road of our own transformation. We are puzzles, you and I, and it is in Christ that we can find our place within the larger puzzle called the body of Christ. So we are here, folks, to glorify his name and not our own. Now, and if it is your first time tuning into Dovetails, I am your host, Deborah, founder of DCL Ministries, and it's a ministry that delights in bringing the word of God to the ear of the listener. And our hope is by bringing the word of God to the ear of the listener, you will apply that word in order to bring you to life. So if you like what you hear, log on to my website at www.dclministries.com to read the thought-provoking articles, Sunday devotionals, become a guest on our show, or check out our featured ministries making a difference in their communities locally, nationally, and globally. Remember, God is everywhere. Why? Because his witnesses are everywhere. Which also reminds me to say, folks, serving God, it doesn't need to be grandiose. Many of you out there, maybe you see something on television, you see something on social media, maybe you see someone giving money out hand over fist, and you think in your mind, I don't have that to give. Keep in mind that maybe you see an elderly person walking across the street needing help with their groceries. That is a gesture of kindness. That's a random act of kindness. Maybe you're finding that the post office that you go to, there's someone behind you struggling, and you ask, can I pray for you? Maybe you need to just help someone that's feeling lonely and is just in need of someone spending quality time with them. It doesn't need to be grandiose. You don't need to empty your bank account in order to serve. You can do it in so many different ways. I needed to express that today because many of you, you're listening and you're thinking, oh, I just need to go to church and I need to get out my checkbook and I need to give all that I can. But there's other ways to do it. You can give of yourself. So keep that in mind. And then in the heart posture of sincerity is the other thing. Remain committed to the Lord, and keep in mind the first commandment is love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and the second commandment is to love his neighbor or love your neighbor as yourself. So I pray that you like what you hear and are able to find hope, answers, and peace here on Dovetails. And lastly, if you are looking for a good read, check out my books, The Women God Used and Beyond the Face of the Movies. You can find both of them on Amazon. And, for example, Beyond the Face of the Movies combines recognized Hollywood blockbuster movies with beloved biblical characters. This book produces meaningful lessons and real-life examples in order to help readers navigate naturally and spiritually through devastating circumstances in their own lives. And if I can linger just a moment longer, I'm going to read a short excerpt from Beyond the Face of the Movies. Have you ever wished you could have done things differently in your life? Unfortunately, by the time you graduate from college, get married, purchase a house, have children, and plan retirement, you might really begin to realize that you never actually took time to discover who you are on the way up the ladder of success. Socrates said, "Know thyself." Do you? This nonfiction book was birthed at a time in my life when I was broken. I was experiencing adversity, oppression, lack of self-confidence, going through a divorce, and desperately in need of spiritual leadership. Like some of you, I was ashamed to ask for help, as if there was something wrong with me admitting that things were upside down. But the sad thing was, there was something wrong with me, and all I knew was that I was desperate for change. I was ready to do away with my old coping mechanism and ready to accept that if I wanted to change my life, then I needed to change my mind. Perhaps this is you, and you are finding yourself suffering silently as I did. And so if you've come this far, then maybe you are willing to go a bit further. As a young adult, I discovered that I had a growing passion for movies and often would watch them over and over and over again. In the beginning, it was a way to get some much-needed laughter in my life, and other times a way to cry after breaking up with a boyfriend. The point is, movies have a way of leaving you inspired and hopeful, or depressed and sluggish, depending on the way you view them. Sometimes we must be strong enough to look beyond the face of what we see every day, to find strength to press beyond the facade, the cover-up, the pretense, the charade, and yes, ladies, the makeup. Beyond the face of the movies, we'll ask you to dig a little deeper to discover what God might be trying to say to you. There's so much more to see, so much more to experience, and so much more to look for when it comes to discovering who you are without a crutch. Be prepared to be inspired and empowered to peel back the layers of your life and discover what you might not be seeing or simply what you just won't face. But don't fear, because this simple approach will allow you to come home from a long day's work, take a shower, put on your sweatpants, pull down the shades, sink into your sofa as you discover the lights, the camera, and the action in your own life. So with all that being said, welcome to the movies. Beyond the Face of the Movies is about humanity learning to let go of what they thought was going to happen and what they want when striving to take hold of a God-centered lifestyle in union with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is why Dovetails is excited to have a woman who has struggled with depression, rejection, broken relationships, and abuse, but in her victory is now determined to impart what she has learned to those who have lost their hope and perhaps have lost their way. My next guest ponders on what makes a great worship leader isn't the ability to sing pretty songs, but a gift that ushers the people of God into His presence. Christian Anderson has been endowed by God to do just that. A worship leader who has been hailed as an anointed powerhouse, she's been blessed to sing background vocals for such gospel greats as Kim Burrell, Judith Christie McAllister, and twins Jason and Jonathan Nelson. In addition, her voice was featured on Bless This House, the groundbreaking project from gospel legend Kurt Carr. Christian was inspired to use her testimony as a platform to minister to those experiencing the same trials she had. That was the birth of the project, I'm an Overcomer. As she worked through issues like rejection, depression, oppression, broken relationships, and abuse, she eventually realized that she hadn't just survived. She had also overcome. That theme was poured into the tracks on the project. Songs like So Good and Lift Your Name remind the listener that the Lord's faithfulness is everlasting. This project, produced by Will Coleman and the psalmist herself, I'm an Overcomer, is a collection of songs targeted to help the believer endure. So sit back and relax as we learn a little bit more about a woman when worshiping God prefers that you see him and not her, a woman who stands under the word of God and not over it, the devoted and multi-talented worship leader, Christian Anderson. Stay tuned.
Don't go away. Stay tuned for more Dovetails with Deborah right after this.
Jesus said, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give." Listen to our internet radio station at touchofgodradio.org where you will find out your true identity in Christ. You can use the light that is within you to replace the darkness in this world. Go into all the world today with touchofgodradio.org.
This is Catherine Buse, author and founder of Defend the Faith Ministry, and you're listening to Dovetails with Deborah right here on PJC Media.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers, only to be told your themes are a bit too religious. We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction. Speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
We're back, and you're tuned in to Dovetails with Deborah, right here on WPJC 104.5.
And we are back. Welcome back to Dovetails, ladies and gentlemen, a show that is a safe place to share your testimony and impart all that you have learned during the bitter and oh-so-sweet moments of your Christian journey. Well, today we have a wonderful woman of God who was inspired to use her testimony as a platform to minister to those experiencing similar trials as her own. Having a mother as a preacher and a father as a minister of music, it didn't stop her issues of rejection, depression, broken relationships, or abuse. What it did achieve through the power of the Holy Spirit was that now she is victorious and she is also an overcomer. So without further delay, please help me welcome to the show worship leader Christian Anderson. Welcome to the show, Christian.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much. I feel honored.
Well, you're so sweet. You really have such a sweet disposition. And Christian,
thank
I have
you.
To say, just looking at your life, your resume, what you've achieved, but also what you've gone through, I was like, I got to get this girl on the show. You know, I think a lot of times, and Christian, I say this every weekend, we just, we live in a world that's just saturated by desire, about our own wants, how we're going to look, what it is that we're going to achieve. You know, someone asks us to do something, and it's like, what am I going to get out of it? And we kind of are, as a society, really being conditioned to think this way. We're being groomed to think of self. We're being groomed to be narcissistic. Well, one thing that I learned in my own journey about my own experience with the Lord is, you know, as I've gone through my life, it's like, wow, I can't look great today while I'm suffering. I'm sorry, I can't do my hair. I can barely get out of bed. I can barely take a shower, and I can barely interact with people. So, you know, we live in a world that says, well, you know what, if you can't look your best, I don't know what good you can do. And as I continued my own journey with the Lord, I realized, wow, it's those good times, but it's really also the horrible times that really show people you can make it, that you don't have to be on point every single day. But with God, with the Holy Spirit guiding, we're asking for counsel, we're asking for guidance from the Lord, that when we can impart a story that has the bitter and the sweet, when it has the good and the bad, I believe people can learn from that. And so that's what this show is about. There's another film that I love. I'm sure you heard the introduction. I love movies. And the movie was called Vanilla Sky. And the line in the movie that stuck with me was, the bitter is not as oh my goodness, I almost forgot the whole line myself. The sweet
okay.
isn't as sweet right. without the bitter. So with that being said, that the sweet isn't as sweet without the bitter, we kind of use that line for this show to mm-hmm. intertwine everything together. So here we'd like to start at the beginning. And for the first question I have for you is, did you grow mm-hmm. up in a family that believed in Jesus Christ?
I did. I grew up in a family that still to this day, you know, I've been in church all my life. So that's pretty much all I know is church. And so, you know, I grew up in a household where my mother prayed and she loved the Lord. And you know, my father was a minister of music, as I mentioned earlier. So, I mean, pretty much my whole family, my mom's side of the family, is all in. They're all in church. So, yeah.
I love that. There's now, how many siblings did you have?
I have two sisters and an older brother. So it's four of us in all.
Four in total. And how did that feel? Because I guess part of me is, as a daughter of a preacher and minister of music, looking back now, is there a certain unspoken responsibility that comes with this heritage? Like you said, you know, church is all that you know. But even that has some sort of weight, you know, because I'm sure as maybe a young girl, did you understand the weight of what was coming, of what was there already?
I didn't understand the weight of it. As a matter of fact, I couldn't understand why are we always in church? You know, why can't I go out with friends, or why can't I go to the ball games, or why can't I go to the parties, or, you know, the school dances? Why can't I do this? Like, why are we always here? Like, can we do something else? That's how, you know, growing up, I felt, you know, like, I felt like I was missing out on things, but truly I wasn't. I was, you know, from a lot, you know, being kept from a lot of things, but even though I still dealt with a whole lot of things in the church. So, you know, but that, I guess that's just how it is, you know, when you grow up in church.
No, my family, we did the same thing. I was quite young, but the stories that I heard from my other siblings, that 7 days a week we were in church. And I, you know, Christian, I have to be honest. I think that's a real feeling, you know. In church circles, it's wonderful to hear that you grew up in a family that loved the Lord and that you were always in church. Mm-hmm. It sounds so fabulous, right? But then when you're going through it, like you said, you just didn't understand why are we always here. And folks, if you're listening right now, I don't want you to feel that like God doesn't want you to have an opinion. Many of you out there, you're listening today, and you have the same question, why am I here, right? And chances are, as we continue to progress in our own lives, that we will find the answers to those very questions. Sometimes God is doing something when you don't even know what he's doing. He's creating a foundation. In the Gospels, Christ always says, you know, weigh that cost. Weigh the cost before you start serving. But what do you do when you grow up into a family that has already made that decision for you? So it's going to be lovely to hear Christian's unpacking of her testimony, because of just she grew up in a family that loved the Lord. I'm curious to see. It's funny. Well, in a family anchored in tradition, so let's, for example, sports within a sports family, then it seems sports is passed down. In a family of academics, and we know education is passed down from generation to generation. Christian, as a young child, you were singing and went to bed singing. I thought that was so cute. You went to bed singing, you woke up singing, just singing all the time, which is really cute.
Singing all the time.
I guess within this heritage and knowing that you have this family, this rock solid family that is just nestled into the church, can you just talk to us a little bit or at least about passing down God as a tradition, why that's so important?
Well, for me, I have a 2-year-old daughter, and for me, passing down that tradition, or passing down, I don't want to necessarily call it a tradition, passing down godly advice, or want to show my daughter who Jesus is. Me growing up in the church, you know, I would see my mom before she passed, because I remember so much about her. She passed when I was 7, but I still remember so much about her. I remember her praying, and I remember her preaching. I remember her singing, and I'm like, man, my mom, you know, that's something that I wanted to do. And I can't necessarily remember my mom sitting down with me and, you know, going over the word, but like I said, I remember her praying, and she was a praying woman. And so that's one thing that is very, very, very important to me, is prayer. And I teach my daughter, she's 2 years old, I teach her about prayer. I teach her who God is, and, you know, who what God has created us to do on this earth, our main, you know, what we all one of our purposes that we all share together, you know, is to be a witness of his word. And, you know, he created us to worship him. He created us to adore him. And I teach my daughter, like I said, about prayer, because prayer is so important to me. Prayer is one thing that really got me out of a lot of things that I even put myself into. Prayer is what's keeping me. Prayer saved my life. Literally, it saved my life. And so, I teach my daughter about prayer. We pray every single day, every night we pray. And it has gotten to the point now where my daughter, before I even start praying, she's like, no, mommy, let me pray first. And she'll pray. She will pray. I don't know what she says a lot of the times while she's praying, but I hear at the end she says, amen. Now you go, mommy. And I will pray. And sometimes we can walk through the house. Well, I will actually be in my room, and I will hear my daughter either in the hallway or in her room, and I will hear her holler out, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah. Or she'll clap her hands really fast. And she has even gotten to the point where we walk into the same, we go to church, and if they call for prayer, she will sometimes go up to the altar by herself.
Wow.
Get on the altar, or she will lay prostrate on the floor, and
wow.
She don't, you know, she doesn't stay there long, but she will do that. She will get up, and or she'll just pray at her seat on her knees, clapping her hands and saying, thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. And, you know, that's one thing that is really, really important to me, is prayer. And even reading her word, you know, I told her, you know, I'm going to start teaching you how to read, because she already knows how to write her name. She knows how to spell her name. And I said, well, we're going to, you know, I'm going to teach you about the word of God. I'm going to teach you God's word. And she's so enthused about it. She has her little Bible, and she'll say, mommy, one time she was like, mommy, where's my book? Where's my book? And I thought she was just meaning your book. And I was like, okay, here's a book. And she's like, no, not that. I want my book. And so she pointed out that. I said, oh, your Bible? She said, yes, mommy, I want my Bible. So she'll open it, and she'll take her little finger and go through the little, you know, the words. She can't read, but, you know, it's so cute. But that's one thing I really want to pass down to my daughter and my future children, is on the power of prayer, teaching them about prayer, teaching them about God's word, teaching them about Jesus and how much he loves them, and how he's concerned about them, and how he died for us, you know, to save us. So, you know, that's what I really want to pass down, and I think would be, you know, a great thing to pass down to my children.
I think you are right. You know, Christian, I said the word tradition because I find in this world we're always, families are always collecting things to pass down to the next generation.
Right.
And in the Bible,
right,
we see constantly this struggle of the gospel not being passed down. And, you know, folks, you're out there listening, I hope you heard the enthusiasm and the passion in Chris's voice. The things that have sustained her, the things that have kept her steadfast am talking in her life as she endures trials, mm-hmm. as she endures adversity, which we will see within her testimony. But it's the things that she holds dear to her heart. She has said, you know what, I need to pass these things down to my daughter. Why? Because they're mm-hmm. they're weapons for warfare. Now, what's so interesting, if we trickle back, just a moment ago we're asking, okay, you know, you grew up in this family, Chris, and she says, mm-hmm. all I knew was church. And mm-hmm. the reason why I'm tying this in, folks, if you're listening, you're tuning in now, we're interviewing this wonderful woman, Christian Anderson. She is a worship leader. But I'm tying this in. She says, all I knew was church. It's because God was also preparing her, and she didn't know why. Christian's mm-hmm. two-year-old daughter, she doesn't know why she's learning this. She doesn't know mm-hmm. why her book is even in vicinity of her. She doesn't know why her mother is constantly praying, and now that her mother has prayed, she also is picking up this spiritual form, this way mm-hmm. to worship God, to interact with God, to talk to God, to love on God, mm-hmm. and for her to understand more about himself. So I highlight this, folks, because the passion and the zeal that Chris has for why she does what she does and why she's passing on what it is that she loves to her family. The question to many of you listening today is, what are you passing on? What are you passing on to your children? What are you? How are you influencing your loved ones? Are you passing on negativity? Are you passing on manipulation? Are you passing on things that, you know, honestly, if someone were to have cancer, they could never use what you passed on to get them through? That's the question.
Wow.
That's for here, for this moment, for this juncture in this testimony. What are you passing on? Chris, I love when I hear a family is encouraging one another. I love mm-hmm. to hear the encouragement and the comfort and the love and the support that you give your daughter. But there's many listening right now that they don't have that.
Yeah.
They have gifts. They have things about their character that nobody is noticing. Nobody is pointing mm-hmm. to and saying, hey, I see that. And the beauty of serving God is that he does look at us and say, I see you. What mm-hmm. advice would you have? Because you had a father that supported you. You had your grandmother that supported you, that mm-hmm. saw your giftings and sort of, you know, before you could even sneeze, you were up there singing. You woke up singing, you went to bed singing.
Yeah.
But what advice would you give to someone right now that, you know what, they don't have that? Like, what would you say to them?
Well, what I will say, I do have the support of my father now, in the support of my grandmother, but I haven't always had that support.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is, I mean, my grandmother has always supported me as far, you know, she's always prayed for me, and I love her for that. But I have been, just to give you just a little bit of my testimony, my mom died when I was 7 years old. So it seemed like from then on, my life did a complete 180. Like, I went through abuse as a child. My father, after my mom passed, and I'm sure my dad, he's not going to mind me talking about this, because we've talked about this, and, you know, we've said our apologies, and, you know, I love my dad so, so much. And God is changing him. He's saving him. But my dad, I don't know if he checked out of life. I don't know. I really can't tell you his testimony or how he really felt. But after my mom passed, my dad, I would say about maybe, I don't even think it was 4 months later, remarried. And not that he didn't love my mom, but he wanted someone to help him raise the girls, my sisters, I, and my brother. So after all of that, you know, he remarried, and, you know, I'm 7 years old, not really understanding, but the woman he married, she took us through a lot of abuse, physical, emotional, verbal. I mean, I got called all kind of names. I was ugly. I was black. I was too skinny. I was dumb. She would say things like, I don't know why I married your dad, or no, y'all just stupid, just stuff like that. I didn't really, you know, and I didn't, and my mom never did that. You know, I knew what a mother was supposed to be like or act like, and she did not, and I didn't feel that motherly love from her. And so from, I guess around the age of seven up until maybe about 11 years old, I went through this. And I didn't feel supported. I didn't feel loved. I felt like an outcast. And that spirit, the spirit of rejection, abuse, depression, almost everything you can think of that comes along with the spirit of rejection began to attach itself to me. And I dealt with this spirit I'm 32. I'm getting ready to turn 33, March the 11th. And I dealt with this spirit up until the age of 31. And it took not having the support, even as I got older, as an adult, and I got married, it took the not having the support of my ex-husband, all of that, you know, it took me to really realize, okay, I've gone through all this. I didn't have the support for this, support for that. But you know what? God showed me that he was always there with me. Even through all of that, he showed me that he was still there and that he loved me and that he was concerned about what I was concerned about. And I had to really I had to speak to myself. There were times that I couldn't even pray over myself. I couldn't pray for myself. I had to turn on prayers. I had to listen to prayers to get myself out of the rut that I was in, to get myself out of that mind as if no one loved me, no one cares about me, no one supports me, because there were people out there, but the enemy, he will try to cover your eyes and try to make you feel like no one really cares. But my grandmother was still praying for me. There were people that I didn't even know were praying for me. So I just want to encourage you, just stay focused. Don't get, you know, the enemy is going to come at you like a flood. But God's word says that he will not put more on you than you can bear, and that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and the rulers of darkness of this world. So we've got to understand that God is always going to be there, that the enemy, he is on his job. But we got to stay on ours. And if that means staying on your knees, do that. Getting in your word, do that. Because how are we able, we can't fight an enemy. We can't recognize what the enemy is doing if we don't get in our word, if we don't stay on our knees, if we don't consecrate and stay in the face of God. We have to do that. Because like I said, the enemy is on his job. He's on his job. But we got to stay on ours. God has given us authority. He has given us power.
Yes.
So we have to be able to activate and use the authority and the power that God has given us. And, I just want to encourage you. I had to get to that place. Like, I had to get to that place where I had to stop feeling sorry for myself. I had to forgive myself. I had to forgive others. I had to stop talking about what others did to me, because that's another way the enemy will try to keep you down and keep you bound, by talking about what other people, all the wrong that people have done to you. Because God don't want us to focus on that. He wants us to let that go. Let it go and give it to him. We got to forgive ourselves. We got to get up, brush our teeth, wash our face. You know, it's going to be hard. They see, healing is not easy. It's not easy at all. But it's necessary. It's necessary for us. Healing is necessary for us to move on to the next level, to move on to where God really has for us. I read something that said healing isn't magical or pretty. Healing is hard and exhausting. It will drain you, and there will be times you want to quit. But it's in these times that you need to learn and lean into the pain and cling to God's grace. And it tells us that we have more strength than we even know. The things that we go through in life, and when we feel like no one's there, it shows us how strong we are. And that's why we have to keep fighting. You have to keep fighting, because the enemy, like I said, he would try to throw anything at you to keep you down, keep you bound, keep you depressed, oppressed, wanting you to kill yourself, because I've been there. And so I had to really get to a place where I'm like, hey, okay, you went through this, okay, you still here. You went through that, okay, you still got your right mind. You're not in a mental institution. You're not on any drugs. You got your right mind. So come on, let's get up. Let's get it together. Let's get on our knees. Let's pray. Let's call up. Don't wait for anyone to call you. Call them and say, hey, can you pray with me? Can you pray for me? Can you be in agreement with me? And that's how I got through it. That's exactly how I was able to get through that and a lot of things that I even still go through now.
You said something really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, just, you know, thank you for just being transparent and raw with the
mm-hmm.
emotion and the things that you have gone through and the blueprint in some ways. The tools that you have used to help yourself, to lean on the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You said something, because it kind of shot out at me. You said he was concerned, meaning he, as in God, was concerned about what I was concerned about. You hit
exactly.
it right on the head. Many times that we're going through something, the enemy most certainly wants you to think that you are alone, that nobody cares.
Mm-hmm.
If you lack the energy to actually reach
mm-hmm.
out to even ask for help. There's
yeah.
people suffering, but how can you give us some examples as to how God showed you that he was concerned about the things? I think that's the key, concerned about the things you were concerned about, because that's the other
mm-hmm.
thing. There's many layers. You know, people are going through so much in their lives. Your story is not the same as their story, but they
mm-hmm.
they relate to the pain. They relate to the feelings.
Mm-hmm.
They relate to the uncertainty and the doubt and feeling that, you know what, I don't even know if I can go on move on. But there is something
mm-hmm.
about God showing us that he's concerned about the things that concern us, that hurt
yeah.
us, that
mm-hmm.
betray us. That, you know, I never told anybody this, but I did tell God, and now somehow he has shown me. Talk to us about that, because people need to, you know, they're not looking with the right set of eyes. They're still being
mm-hmm.
sorry for themselves, right? And we understand that. Hey, I had my pity party. I broke out my fabulous dress for the pity party, only to realize
uh-huh.
I got to still do the work, right, you know. But talk to us about that.
Well, one thing God does for me, I don't, you know about anyone else, but he gives me dreams and visions. And when I was going through, I would say, I'm sorry, y'all, this is my baby. For an example, when I went through the thing, what I went through with my ex-husband, him leaving me, you know, telling me he doesn't love me anymore, and being 4 months pregnant with my daughter, not knowing what I'm going to do. I'm literally 10 hours away from my family in a state by myself with no family members, just me and my pregnant belly. And so through all what God began to show me, because during this time I really couldn't pray for myself, like I said before, and I had to play prayers. And so I would do this every day. And I would play prayers. I would put them towards my belly, you know. I'm sorry, y'all. Go ahead on. I'm sorry. Go ahead and go there. And I would put the prayers in my belly, let my baby hear it, and God began to show me in dreams, and I began to get a notebook and just write down everything that he would show me. Because I had prayed. I said, Lord, this is hard, and I'm tired of struggling. I'm tired of going through. I'm tired of dealing with rejection, tired of dealing with life. I'm tired. I mean, I was literally ready to check out of here. Like, I can remember sitting on the edge of the bed, and I probably was around 8 months at this time, and I heard the enemy tell me in my ear, go get that knife and just stab yourself in the stomach. Go get it and stab yourself. And I sat there on the edge of the bed and cried and cried. I could not move. I cried and cried and cried. And I was like, Lord, you got to help me. You got to help me in this situation. You got to help me get these thoughts out of my mind, because I knew that's something that I did not want to do. And what I did, I asked the Lord, okay, I've gone through this. It's been a couple of months now, or however many months. It's been this many months. He's still taking me through this, still taking me through that. I said, you have to help me. I said, and you have to help me to get over this quickly, because if I don't get over it quickly, I feel like I may do something that I can't take back. So God began to show me in a dream. He began to show me my ex-husband. And there was some letters on the back of his head. I mean, numbers on the back of his head. And at first, I couldn't see the numbers. God began to show me these numbers. And I went and looked up these numbers. And I'm not going to break down what the numbers mean, what all the numbers mean. I wrote it down. But basically, God was letting me know that you're getting ready to come out. And it's going to be a quick, I'm getting ready to do a quick work in you. And at that point, and then there were other dreams that he began to show me about my future. He was just showing me glimpse of things. And that was one thing that really encouraged me. Okay, you know, you got work to do. You know, you got work to do. There's a reason you went through this. So you'll be able to go out and help other women and other children or whoever may be going through it. You're going through this so you can help somebody else. Okay, so come on, come on. God is showing you this to encourage you to get on up, encourage you to keep on fighting. Now, don't get me wrong, even I got up, I was encouraged, but, you know, there were still those times where I'm like, man, why did I go through that, Lord? Why are you letting me? Why? You know, and even now, sometimes I'm like, I look back and I'm like, oh wow, I really went through that. But now I just thank God. I was like, Lord, I thank you. I thank you that I went through that, because it made me stronger. It took me higher. It's taking me higher. And you know, that's my story. You know, that's how God worked on me. That's how God was able. That's how I was able to quickly get up. You know, get up and get over. If that makes sense to a lot of y'all.
It makes complete sense. I mean, it's extraordinary. It does. You're bringing so many things back to my mind, and I know that people that are tuning in, folks, if you are tuning in and you are listening to this wonderful woman of God's testimony, again, we are interviewing Christian Anderson, has been belting out melodies since she was a little girl. She is a worship leader who has shared the stage singing background vocals with Kim Burrell, Judith Christie McAllister, and Jason and Jonathan Nelson, the twins. This wonderful woman of God is spending time with us today and just dropping off these nuggets, these words of wisdom. I really pray that you have your notebook out and that you are taking notes. Chris, your testimony really, really is extraordinary. And it's the things that you have learned. I love how you keep saying, this is what God showed me. Each one of you out there that are listening, God is showing you something, whether it's through dreams. But I love that. I love that Chris continues to go back to the Word. She continues to go back to God. Many of you listening right now today, you're going back to something, but you're actually probably not going back to God. You're trying to look for answers through people. But you can't find answers through people. You have to go back to the source. John 15:4 says, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit apart from the vine, and neither can you bear fruit apart from me. Oh, I mean, many of us, we're running around, we're cutting our heads off, but really, when you get into the Word and you read the Word of God, what he tends to do is then you go out into the world, and he'll confirm what you read, and he'll give you an illustration in the world. Something will happen. Mm-hmm. One thing that I love to do is I have an index book that I write scriptures that have made an impact on my heart as I'm reading the Word. And I just, and every day I turn to that, and I use that Word to at least to, I would say, frame my day. So I'll keep saying the scripture to myself when I have a hard time, you know, with what I'm doing, I'm struggling, if I want to rejoice to the Lord, laugh and talk with the Lord, I use that scripture to communicate and to really, really marinate in that scripture. And he'll start showing you, not only in the words, but also in your life, how that scripture applies. Mm-hmm. He'll connect it with something else. He'll connect it with a movie. He'll connect it with you going to the art gallery. He'll connect it with your friends. And now what mm-hmm. happens is you add that scripture to your spiritual repertoire, and God will use that throughout your life. Make no mistake,
yes,
that scripture now is in your mental Rolodex. 10 years from now, God will bring that scripture. Holy Spirit will quicken that scripture to surface. And it will be something that you could use to get you through a troubled time. Or you could use it to talk to someone else and encourage them through that very same scripture. You don't know what the Lord is doing. One thing that I wanted to say before we go into break is what stories are you telling yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Chris said that the enemy came to her and said, oh, pick that knife up and stab yourself. And what happens is, she knew enough, even in the madness. See, this is what happens when you really love the Lord and you really are trying to live your life in a way that honors him, that you understand how holy he is, and that at the root you serve him. That you do not serve another god, you serve the Lord. This is the beauty
mm-hmm.
of it, because what happens is when the enemy is talking to you, you know at least enough to push it away. But my question to some of you listening today is, and to all of us, a good thing to think, what story are you telling yourself to get through your trials? I knew people that they would tell themselves stories like, okay, I'm going to calm myself down because it would be things like, I can kill someone, or I could do this, but I'm just stopping myself. Like, what would calm them down would be the thought of hurting someone. What would calm them down would be a thought of, well, you know what, my boss has been treating me so poorly, if something happened to her children. What stories are you telling yourself to calm yourself down? What I want to encourage you to do is almost, you're hearing in Chris's testimony, she's not going to all that stuff. She's going to the Word of God. She's
mm-hmm.
aligning herself with who God is. She's aligning herself, let me go into the Word. Let me read the Gospel. Let me go into the Old Testament. Let me go into the New Testament. So I want to encourage you to do that as you're listening to Chris's testimony. So we're going to take a really, really short break. Oh, we've gotten off to a wonderful start. But when we come back, we'll want to talk more about prayer. That is something that's very dear to Chris's heart. And we're going to find out why she says prayer doesn't need to be a long process. We'll be right back.
Don't go away. Stay tuned for more Dovetails with Deborah right after this.
What's up, y'all? This is your bro, Robbie Newborn, Christian rap evangelist, ministry leader, and founder of GDT Walking Out Ministries, a drug awareness, peer mentoring, and counseling ministry that spreads a message of hope to the hopeless, bringing the gospel to the street. I am a recovery specialist, intervention, drug prevention professional. So if you're looking for a counselor or counseling or someone to just talk to, please call me at 484-525-9832. My website is www.rdsjr.com. God bless you all from all of us at GDT, Walking Out Ministries, and Team God. Peace and Christ love. Come on.
Hi, this is Chef Yari from YariCooks.com, and you're listening to Dovetails with my favorite host, Deborah, on PJC Media.
Authors, are you looking for a new way to get your book in the hands of new audience of targeted buyers? Then a virtual book tour is for you. Right now, virtual book tours is an excellent opportunity for you to introduce your book and who you are as an author. Launching your book is very important. A virtual book tour will connect you with readers. We at WNL, we specialize in book tours, book blasts, radio tours, cover reveals, and Facebook chat. Promoting and marketing your book is what we do. Online publicity, the exposure and the publicity is what you need. Let us help you reach new readers and a new audience. We take care of everything so you don't have to. We set up the tour for you. We connect you with bloggers to advertise your book by way of interviews, guest posts, and reviews. If you are an author of a newly published book, have an upcoming release, or just want to give a previously published book new life, a virtual book tour is your answer. Check our tours out at www.wnlbooktours.com. Visit me on Facebook. I am the owner, Paulette Harper.
This is Carla Cook, daughter of the legendary Sam Cook. On tour now with wondrous stories, the life and music of my father, Sam Cook. You can find me at carlacook.com. Remember, that's Cook with an E. And follow my Facebook page at The Carla Cook. And I'm on Twitter and Instagram at The Carla Cook. I hope to see you soon on stage in a city near you.
We're back, and you're tuned in to Dovetails with Deborah right here on WPJC 104.5.
When we are back, and we're just excited that you're tuning in with us this Sunday afternoon. We are mid-January 2019, and folks, keep in mind we are here every Sunday, 2:30 to 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We bring testimonies, courageous guests to the table so that you can learn from their life, that you can look at it and hopefully somehow apply some of these godly principles to help you out of your mess, so that it can turn into a message. We are delighted to have this woman of God, Christian Anderson. I love her name. Don't you love her name? Christian Anderson. It's like lights, camera, action, right? I'm feeling this. I love this girl's name, but she is a survivor. But she's not only a survivor, she's an overcomer. And so she's poured that principle, she's poured that into her album, which we love, we love, we love, I'm an Overcomer. And it was produced not only by herself, but Will Coleman. Again, Christian Anderson believes worship is not just about singing and clapping of one's hands. It is a lifestyle. And folks, clearly, prior to going to commercial break, we've learned that this woman, she's been through a lot from such a young age. So with that being said, I wanted to talk about prayer. But before we talk about prayer, I wanted to read a passage from the Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 4, starting with verse 4. And so John came baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. I wanted to read that passage because I couldn't even go further within the passage because I kept saying, God, you know, it says John came baptizing in the desert region, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And I said to myself, why would he be preaching in the desert? Who's coming to the desert? Like, who's going all the way out there? You know, most people, it's like, you know, today we find, you know, we're looking for a church that's down the block. We're looking for comfort from perhaps someone that's right in our vicinity. And I couldn't help but think, you know, sometimes, folks, we have to be desperate for change. I knew after I went through my horrible divorce and you're going through these things in your life that break you. I'm talking break you. You in your mind, you know you've gone past the point that you know that I can't even do this on my own because I don't even have the strength. I don't even know who I am anymore. Whatever I built my life on, the foundation, it's gone. And there's no one around me that's going to pour into me right now. What do I do? And sometimes, it's like, I needed to become desperate. And desperate sometimes means you got to go to a place you never even thought you would be, meaning the desert.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we all got to go through the dry place in order to find God. That we have to bow our heads and say, I don't have it. I don't. I need your help, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to survive this and to overcome it. And I remember at that time in my life, I made a list of, I want to use my gifts for the Lord. All of a sudden, it was bizarre. Within my pain, I had clarity. I had clarity because I knew I had come to such a low point that I became desperate, and all of a sudden, things became clear. So, you know, maybe that's John the Baptist preaching in the desert. How far will you go? Will you go out to the desert to find what you need? Will you do that? Or are you a person that, you know what, maybe you're not desperate enough because you haven't gotten to that place that it's like, you know what, I need you. I can't even negotiate this. I have nothing to negotiate. So as we're listening to Chris's testimony, I just was reminded of that. She was in a dry place. And God says, oh, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burden. And I, not your friend, not your church, I will give you rest. I will do it. I will show you. I love it when God says, I will do it. Oh, I will do it. I will hold you, comfort you when no one else can. And those of you listening today, I believe those of you listening to you, you truly relate to Chris's testimony because you have no one right now and you are in a dry place. But I'm telling you, look up to the hills because your help comes from Christ. It comes from the Lord. It comes from the Lord, nowhere else. Go to the source. Go to the source and align yourself with people that know the source. And that will pour into you about the source. And when you fall off, they'll come to you with a scripture, bam, and hit you in the head, tell you to read the Psalms. You want people in your life that are going to influence you in such a way that the devil will be crying. He'll be sitting there crying out, I got to get this person. You need people in your life that are going to encourage you like that. Oh, I'm telling you, Chris's testimony reminds me of that power of the Lord. Of he can dig in and grab you out of the dark places, out of the muck.
Thank you.
Ooh, praise you, Jesus. Anyway, we're going to move towards prayer because prayer is huge. Prayer and fasting is huge to break stronghold and to see breakthrough in your life. And I love that Chris said, and she's going to talk to us about that now, it doesn't need to be a long process. That sounds interesting. You mean I don't have to call down the thunder? What? Talk to us about that, Chris.
I have learned that if I just keep my mind on him and I'm praying throughout the day, you know, we don't always have to get on our knees and just fall all out on the floor, you know, roll all over the floor. You know, sometimes it takes that. I must say, sometimes it does take that. But, you know, the Bible lets us know that, you know, we should never have to fret. Don't worry. Instead of worrying, pray. You know, let our petitions and our praises shape your worries into prayers. And, you know, when you praise God, you know, you're letting God know, hey, God, I'm trusting you. I'm praying. I'm still praying, and even in the midst of all of that, you know, I'm steady praying all throughout the day. Even when I'm sitting in class, I'm praying. Sometimes I even gotten to the point where sometimes I have felt the presence of God. So, not that I was going through anything, and you don't have. And I do want to say this: you don't have to pray when you're going through. Don't just pray when you're going through. Always pray. Always pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray at all times. Because sometimes we can put our prayers out there, and the prayers that we pray, it can be protecting us from things to come. So I want to say that always pray. Always pray. Not just when you're going through.
But like I said, sometimes I can be sitting in class, and I've been to the point where I'm like, I'm sitting there just thinking on the goodness of Jesus, and I'm in my mind, I'm like, Lord, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you for bringing me out of this. I thank you for bringing me out of that. I thank you for the doors you're getting ready to open. I thank you for the doors that you closed that shouldn't have been open to begin with.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for protecting me. I thank you for protecting me and keeping me from danger seen and unseen. I thank you. And then I get so excited sitting in class. And I can remember one time I hollered out, like, Lord, thank you, Jesus. And, you know, people looking around at me. So now I have to, you know, kind of tip out, go to the bathroom. But I'm not ashamed. But, you don't want to be disruptive either in the classroom. But I'm always praying, always praying. And, you know, while I'm riding down the street, I'm like, Lord, I thank you. I appreciate you. I just thank you for being so good. I tell him who he is. I give the word back to him. You know, I tell God, hey, you said this in your word, Lord. You know, I thank you for this. I thank you for that. Thank you for being concerned about me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for protecting me. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. You are such an awesome God. I'm always praying, always praying. So when I do go through, it won't be hard for me to pray.
Yes.
Because it's already in me.
That's
those times that it was hard for me to pray when I was going through, that was because, you know, I only prayed when I went through. And when, you know, it gets hard when you go through and you haven't really, I hadn't already conditioned yourself to pray.
Yes.
You haven't already put yourself, like I said, worship is a lifestyle. Prayer is a lifestyle. We have to make this our lifestyle. And I don't mean, you know, I always tell people, even when I get up to do praise and worship, it's not about singing. It's not about the clapping of your hands. It's about what we say out of our mouths. It's about the position that we are in, the posture that we put ourselves in, that worshiping and bowing down to God. Lord, I yield to you. I surrender all to you. When we lift up our hands in prayer, that's a sign of surrenderance. I'm surrendering all to you. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how this is going to go or how that is going to go. But, Lord, I surrender to you. I trust you. I put it all in your hands because there's nothing that I can do. Obviously, there is nothing that I can do for myself. It's no goodness on my own. Lord, you are the author and finisher of my faith. Lord, you are the one that leads and guides my life. Lord God, I need you. So if we just wake up every single morning before we cut on the TV, before we pick up our phone, before we do anything, before we brush our teeth, wash our face, before our feet hit the floor, Lord, I thank you. Thank you for waking me this morning, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because you kept me all night long. You didn't allow any robbers to come in on us. No one broke into our home, into our cars.
Yeah.
Your angels was encamped around us. Every night I tell my daughter, I said, do you see your angels? They're in here with you. They're in here with you. They're protecting you. They're covered. They're, you know, they're God has, we can call our angels and dispatch our angels to us to protect us. Man, I thank God that he does that. He protects our home. God had told me one time that there are angels walking up and down my street, walking up and down, and my daughter sometimes will see them. And they're walking up and down the street of the house that I'm in protecting us, and I won't ever have to worry about a thing. And I just thank God for prayer because prayer is what saved me. Prayer is what's keeping me. It's keeping my body. Prayer is keeping my mind. You know, prayer is keeping me. Do you hear me? Prayer is keeping me from going out. Prayer is keeping me from going out doing things I shouldn't do. And when I say it's keeping my body, I mean prayer, I've been divorced now for probably 2 years, but it's been a little over 3 years since my husband left, and God is keeping me. When I say he is keeping me, he's keeping me. He's keeping my mind. He's keeping my body. He's keeping my heart. God is keeping me. And I'm so excited about him. Y'all just pray. That's all I can say. Just pray. Just keep praying.
Lord, I said, Lord, folks, Chris is saying a lot without saying a lot right now. Those of you that have gone through a divorce, I just did a series about separation and divorce. I've gone through a divorce. When she says God is keeping her, you have to remember all the things that come with marriage. And when God keeps you and says, I'm going to be your husband and I'm going to be your provider, I mean, through every facet of her life of what the enemy stole from her, the Lord is keeping that, keeping her sanity, keeping her body intact, helping her to not feel urges that she would have felt in her marriage, helping her not to act on those urges, helping her to stay sane to raise her daughter. Sometimes we have to remember, Lord, God keeps us emotionally. Let me stay sane so I can even pass down the right things to my daughter, because my daughter feels my angst. My daughter feels my anxiousness. My daughter feels the things that I'm going through. So, Lord, help protect her while I'm going through. There's, if you hear what Chris is saying, she's saying from the moment her eyes open, she is in praise and thanksgiving to the Lord, because what she's realized in her journey is what he has shielded her from, what he has been protecting her from, while he is already planning her steps to her future. And we're gonna you know, I just love it, because it is in this, and I want to talk about music for a moment, because it's in this pain that you can sing better. It's in this pain that the texture of you, when the vocal stylings of a six-year-old, now they have changed, because you had a different type of relationship with the Lord. You're still continuing the prayer. You're still continuing to praise. And make no mistake, folks, lament is also within that prayer. Don't think, you know, talk to God. He knows what's already going on in your heart, but I'm telling you, this is your opportunity to express it. And I want to say also that when you are going through rough times, I remember Holy Spirit said to me, do not, when you are going through a season of confusion, or maybe you're just conflicted, or you have a problem, maybe you want to complain and grumble, God says, bring it to me. Why? Because I'm going to fill your mind with the right thoughts. Some of you are listening today, you are running to somebody else, and they're filling your mind with the wrong thoughts. They're not godly thoughts. They're not pleasing. They're not edifying. They're gossipy. They're tearing somebody else down in order to build you up, to make you feel better about maybe where you're at and what's going on in your life and why something hasn't gone the way that you wanted it to go. God says, bring it to me. Bring it to me, because I'm going to plant something in your mind. I'm going to remind you of something, because we are all Adam and we are all Eve. There is nobody walking around today that is not a sinner, that does not need the grace and the mercy and the benevolence and the love of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Every day, every moment of the day. So keep that in mind. Don't think that, okay, well, you know what, the Lord's good. No, you need to make sure you're bringing these things to the Lord and staying in prayer. Now, I wanted to talk about music, because what music now has changed, meaning not in a bad way, but it's changed in a good way, because now there's more depth. When you, I believe when you're saying worship is a lifestyle, it's intertwined with this. Talk to us about that saying. You're touching upon it within this interview, but the idea that, like, wait a second here, singing is obviously a spiritual formation, but prayer is, solitude is, right? Fasting is, and the idea that now singing, you coming up with this album, I'm an Overcomer, and the depth and the anointing that people can hear in your voice, this has to do with this journey. Talk to us about how intertwines.
Well, singing for me, music, as prayer has done, has put me in, life, death and life is in the power of the tongue. And so when I begin to sing certain words, like you are my strength like no other, that is one song that really got me through. And I will even sing that to my baby all the time. And I want to give you this quick story really quickly if I can about my daughter. Before I went through my divorce, before my husband left me, my ex-husband left me, God showed me my daughter. He showed me her Because we had gotten married in 2015 of September. In December, I found out I was pregnant. So the week before I found out, God showed me this little girl. And not only did he show me her, but he gave me her name. Her name is Yael. It means strength of God. I've never heard of this name before, never heard anyone called Yael. And so I was like, okay, this is what you want me to name her. That's going to be her name. So, like I said, it means strength of God. Not knowing what I was getting ready to go through, not knowing that God used this baby as a resource to give me strength in the midst of everything that I was dealing with my ex-husband and all the spirits that tried to, unclean spirits that tried to attach itself to me. God used my daughter to help bring me out, along with prayer, along with singing and music and all of that. So I wanted to add that in there because there was a song, "You Are My Strength." You are my strength, strength like no other. That song right there, I would sing to her and I would sing to myself every single day. And even now, I still sing that to her. And that song, the words in that song, really, really helped me to overcome, helped me to survive. And when I say I not only survived but I overcame, I survived it all and I overcame the residue of what I survived. And I thank God for the music and for the songs that he placed inside of me and that he is placing inside of me now, because I ask God, I'm always praying, Lord, give me songs from heaven. I don't want to just put songs together or put words together that sounds good. I want God to give me songs from heaven that is going to move and move the spirit, that's going to have people crying out, Lord, what must I do to be saved? I want God to give me songs that are going to have people being set free, healed and delivered. And when I tell you God is doing that, he is doing that. I have had people come up to me in testimonies. When you began to open up your mouth and saying, my mother was diagnosed with an illness. The doctors gave her up. This was a lady at my church. Her mother wasn't even at the church. They weren't even at the church when I sang this particular song. They were streaming it. But she came to church and told me, my mother, the doctor had given my mother up, said that there was nothing else that they can do for her. She said, but you opened up your mouth. I cannot remember the song that I was singing, but she said, when you began to open up your mouth, my mother began to feel the healing virtues go throughout her body. She went back to the doctor, and the doctors told her that they don't see any trace of whatever she was dealing with. I don't know if I can't remember if it was cancer, but they said they don't see any trace, and the woman is alive to this day.
Praise the Lord.
And this was almost a year ago. And that's not even the only thing. I've heard other people say that they've been healed, they have been delivered and set free. And so not only God has given me songs to help others come out and be delivered and set free, but he gave me songs for myself to be healed, delivered, and set free.
I'm telling you, folks, that's the anointing. There's great singers in the world, but the anointing is when it evokes that godly change, that the king, you know, right in the midst of it. So, I mean, there's someone that I can hear them singing and they move me, absolutely, and they're a beautiful singer. But the anointing, is when when Christ came, he needed to talk to the people about the difference between clean and unclean. And, you know, people were just completely confused on this. Everything always had to do with an external goodness. But I'm telling you, when God gets a hold of you, oh, my goodness, it's an internal change. It is a change.
Oh, yes.
That's why Corinthians 5:17 says we are a new creation. That's how you become new. Everyone can be born again. And make no mistake, Holy Spirit can only convict you on what you believe. Do you believe who God is? Do you believe he died on the cross for your sins? And when you hear that voice singing and praising the Lord and touching you in your heart, it evokes such a change that you never will go back. That's what I love about Ruth in the Bible. she got a hold of Naomi and said, I don't know what you did, but I ain't ever going back to a pagan lifestyle.
I ain't going back.
Ever. Folks, know when the end of your story comes that now God is ushering you into a new dimension, that you are now a new creation in Christ Jesus that can take you into your new resources, your new lifestyle, and your new ending. Folks, I'm telling you, that's the anointing that Chris is talking about. That's the anointing of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I love it, I love it, I love it. I wanted to talk about your album, I'm an Overcomer,
mm-hmm.
because
yes.
there's certain songs that have certain things going on that you wanted the listener to take away.
Yes.
But talk to us about some of those things, because that talk to us about that.
Okay, with on right now is I have two songs on the I'm an Overcomer one. I'm still working on others, and I'm praying that the songs that God has given me will be able to be released by mid year. So the two songs that I currently have on the CD are So Good and Pray. I forgot my own songs, y'all. I forgot my own songs.
I know you have One Moment, right? So Good, Lift Your Name, right?
Lift Your Name, that's the song, that's the name. Lift Your Name, One Moment, Lift Your Name, Mighty God, I'm Coming Out is another one. Those are two songs that God gave me. I'm Coming Out, I wrote this song when I believe I was in my early 20s, I was just now, you know, putting it out because it became relevant in my life at this point. And then God gave me Mighty God. I was riding down the street one day, and these words just began to come to my heart. You are a mighty, mighty God. And it just tells how mighty and how good God is and how great he's been in my life. And Lift Your Name, it was a song written by a friend of mine. And it just simply says, I will lift your name. Even in the midst of whatever I'm going through, I'm going to praise you because I know that my praise is what's going to help bring me out. If I praise you in the midst of it, you're going to bring me out. And I was telling the saints on this morning that when we begin to worship and when we begin to praise God and when we lift up that praise and worship, God is going to he's going to work on whatever petitions we have before him, whatever is going on in our life. As we begin to worship and praise him, he's going to start working. And I just really believe that. And so that song just simply says, when you praise me through it, I'm going to do the work for you. So, and So Good is just a snippet of my testimony of the things that I've been through, homelessness, abuse, and all of that. It just gives a snippet, and it's more of a upbeat type of contemporary sound. And One Moment is a song that was written by a brother of mine named Dante Everhart. He's out of Memphis, Tennessee. He wrote this song, and it just says, one moment with God would change your life. One moment would turn your whole life around. And in that moment, I just want that one moment with God. Just that one moment. And then the night of my concert, God gave me a song on the spot called I Want to Be Saved for Real. You know, so many times people, this world nowadays, everyone is saved. Everyone is saying, you know, they're saved, but they're really not. Are they really saved? Because being a Christian is meaning it means Christ-like, and we must be Christ-like. We must be able to portray the image of God when we look in the mirror or when we go out into the community. What do people see? In the book of Romans 8:16, it tells us that the Spirit of God, his Spirit touches our spirit, and it testifies with our spirit. But can the world say that? When we go out into the world, can they, when they see us, or when we walk into a room or wherever we are, wherever we work in this mainstream world, you know, when people see us, what do they smell? I gave this analogy. What do they smell? Do they smell trash? or do they smell the aroma of Christ? Meaning, and I don't mean with your natural sense. I mean when people, when you walk into your workplace or when you at school or when you even in your own home, when you're in the community or wherever you are in politics and fashion or wherever you are, when you walk into the room, can people identify the Father in you? And that's something that my pastor has been talking about. I attend Evangel Fellowship in Greensboro, North Carolina. Pastor Otis Locker Jr. And he's decreeing and declaring that this year would be a year of double impact with mission members and mainstream. And what do people see when they see you? Can they identify the Father in you? Can they testify that the Father is in you? Even those that don't want to hear anything about God, they should be able to see your lifestyle because you say you say, because you say you love the Lord. They should be able to see your lifestyle and say, okay, I believe them. I believe that. I can see that they really do love God. They really do. And it makes me want to know who that God is. It makes me want to know who the Father is. It makes me want to know who he is.
And those of you, oh, my gosh. Chris, you're saying today, your testimony, you're saying so many wonderful things, so many things that I know that people listening can utilize and relate to. Folks, I guess in some ways, we're coming to the end of our interview, but
mm-hmm.
when you love and are passionate about something, if you are a ballerina and you love being a ballerina, chances are when people look at you, they see a dancer. Chances are they see that. If you are a construction mm-hmm. worker and you're listening to this broadcast, people look at you and say, you know what, I have a feeling, do you do construction? Why? Because you reek mm-hmm. of that. Perhaps you are a business owner, a philanthropist, whatever it is that you love, there is residue of that passion on you. And chances are when you're talking, your everyday conversation, you always place what you do into your conversation. If you're a ballerina, somehow everything that you're saying revolves around that. And what Chris is saying is this: if you love God, there ain't no way that someone's not going to be able to look at you and see Christ in you. There's no way. I can tell you right now, when God comes into your life and you become saved, you're not going to be able to omit him out of conversation. Everything that you say is going to have him in there. Just like everything that you say as a construction worker is going to have that in there. And that I can tell you, God takes over your life. And it's not in a bad way. It's in an amazing way. You feel so attached. I'm telling you, the way Chris speaks is that the moment her eyes open, she's thinking about God. She's thinking about how to serve him, thinking about how to please him. She's praising him because she's praying all the time. She's talking to her daughter about him. She's talking to people that she sings with. She's creating music that is going to edify and please him. She's asking God, can you give me the words to the song that are heavenly songs? Everything that this woman does, it is intertwined with what she believes, with who she serves. And I hope you can feel that. You can feel the zeal and the love and the passion, and that's despite what she's gone through. It's in spite of it. I mean, you hear her mother died when she was 7. She suffered abuse. Her husband just one day woke up and said, you know what, I don't love you anymore. But what I hope you understand, the underbelly is that through it all, God has been so consistent in her life. He has never left her. And she has never left him. Yes, she might have felt depressed, but she reached out. She knew intimately who God was. Why? Because she invested in the building blocks of her faith. She didn't just pray to God when things went bad. She prayed to the Lord and praised him when things were good or okay. There's gorgeousness. There's so many benefits when you have Christ in your life. Anyway, I've talked too long. Oh, my Lord. But we have been blessed to have Christian Anderson on our show today. Folks, check out her website at www.christiananderson.worldwide.com. Chris, give us some final thoughts before I close out.
I just want to leave you with just continue to stay focused. Stay focused, and if you love God and you know why you were created, just stay focused and be a witness of his word. And because, and no matter, you know, what comes, no matter what goes, you know, persecution will come, but we still must remain focused. We must remain focused, have pure motives in the things that we do for God, because that's how we will be elevated, going to the next level is, you know, having pure motives and just wanting to do the work. No matter what, like I said, what goes on in our life, let's just do the work of the Lord. Let's lift his name up where he'll be able to draw the people in. I love you all. I really, really appreciate you all. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I count it a privilege and an honor to always be able, you know, whenever I have the opportunity to spread his word or give my testimony. I thank you so much for even considering me.
Oh, my goodness. It's nothing to consider. You are a passionate woman of the Lord, and you've blessed us so much today, Christian. I feel nothing but favor for your life and for the Lord to continue to keep increasing your status, your wisdom, your discernment, your knowledge, and your understanding. We ask that in Jesus' name. Folks, thank you for tuning in today. Again, we interviewed Christian Anderson, and she has, again, been belting out those songs since she was a little girl. And just keep her in prayer, her ministry in prayer. And I pray that today you have felt that you, too, were in the presence of the Lord as we spoke about God and who he is and who he is not. I'd love to close out this broadcast. One of the books that I always read from, I read a lot of books, but this is a annual devotional. Some of you might have it. It's called Jesus Calling by Sarah Young. And I decided for today's show to just simply read the entry for today. I felt that it encompassed what it is that we would be talking about today. And this is today's entry. Approach this day with awareness of who is boss. As you make plans for the day, remember that it is I who orchestrates the events of your life. On days when things go smoothly according to your plans, you may be unaware of my sovereign presence. On days when your plans are thwarted, be on the lookout for me. I may be doing something important in your life, something quite different from what you expected. It is essential at such times to stay in communication with me, accepting my way as better than yours. Don't try to figure out what is happening. Simply trust me and thank me in advance for the good that will come out of it all. I know the plans I have for you, and they are good. Until next time, please keep sharing your dovetail, and God bless you.
Thanks for tuning in, and to listen to this show and other shows, visit the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/PJC Media or download Stitcher on your mobile device so you can tune in to next week for another Dovetails with Deborah.